PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehong.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your Sunday program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio International. For this, the 9th of September, 2018. Yes, 2018. This year, 2018, seems to be a year I personally find moving a lot faster than previous years. I don't know why. Well, actually, no. It actually stems down to, okay, you know, when you're really super, super busy, right? Time seems to go a lot faster. I think actually that's what it has to do with, because this year has been a rather bit of a hectic year for yours truly. But nevertheless, idle hands, something. But actually, no, I like keeping busy. I really do like keeping busy. Anyway, let's begin with a piece of music that I thought we would play after many things around the world that have been happening. I'm not going to say exactly why, but let's see if you can kind of figure it out. Marvin Gaye, I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Chose hands to make me blue with some other guy.
Marvin Gaye, and I heard it through the grapevine here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. A little bit of sad news to actually pass along. There was somebody that we actually had on the program, I think I mentioned it before, by a singer by the name of Martha Huang, who passed away of a brain tumor last week. And sadly, actually, I only found out about it a couple of days ago, so I haven't had the time to really put something together, but we'll talk about it more next week and play some of her music on next week's program. Now, I was telling you not that long ago about holidays in Taiwan. Now, if you listen to this program, especially over the last while, this year we've had a lot of holidays. Well, actually, not more than usual, but they've fallen on days that make give a lot of people a lot of more free time. So. Well, we have another one coming up. Two coming up. We have Ghost Month, because this is Ghost Month. And then we have the Mid-Autumn Festival. And then we have National Day, which follows right after. And then Double Ten Day. All coming up in the next 3 weeks. This year we've had really a lot of holidays. It's actually kind of good because, like I said, they fall on a Thursday. So if we have a public holiday that's on a Thursday, we get the Friday off. Same, for example, if we have a public holiday on a Tuesday, we have the Monday off. So we have a lot of 4-day weekends this year. And I was trying to take a look, actually, at what it's going to be like next year in 2019. And good, actually, another very good year for public holidays. Yes. But one thing I do have to say that's really unusual, though, one area that we actually haven't had many holidays, and that has to do with typhoons. Now, over the past number of years, there have been it goes back for a long time. We a lot of typhoons in the area. This year, we only had one that we actually had a 2-day holiday. On average, we had usually about 3 or sometimes 4, but last year and this year has actually been very quiet. Most of the typhoons have been going towards other areas of Asia. If you've been paying attention to the news, you know there was a large typhoon that hit Japan this past week, and then, of course, a subsequential earthquake. But they've actually been avoiding little Taiwan. But the thing is, typhoon season isn't over yet. It isn't over yet. And there are two at the moment, tropical storms that are forming. One near Guam and the other just, I think, if I'm not mistaken, from when I was watching television earlier today, northwest of the Philippines or northeast of the Philippines. No, it is northeast of the Philippines. That could also turn into a typhoon and come our way. So we still actually have a little bit of time. I remember one year, a few years ago, I had gone to Europe in the month of October, and I was gone for about 3 weeks. And usually it's very rare to get typhoons in the month of October. I mean, it does happen. You know about it? Yes, it does happen, but it's a little bit rare. And when I was away, there was actually a pretty big one that happened. And my IE, the woman who does cleaning in my apartments, said that one of the doors, it's not a main door for the apartment itself, but it's a door that goes from the hallway to the balcony, which is a huge metal door. I mean, it is really big. Was just ripped away. And she had some pictures of plants. It was really funny. My balcony looked like somebody went and just blew everything scattered over the place. But that kind of thing happened. So we still have a little bit of time. Anyway, let's now have some more music. Let's take a listen to Gil Scott-Heron from the album Reflections with Is That Jazz? Gil Scott-Heron from the album Reflections with Is That Jazz here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. There is a group on social media that I have been a member of actually probably for about maybe 2 years now. And it's a group actually that made up predominantly of music enthusiasts, mainly to do with LPs. And there was a very interesting discussion that we actually started having this past week, actually, about the subject. Because a lot of people were asking questions, and some of us who have been around for a little bit actually knew the answer to. But it's something that for the people don't really think about so much. Now, as you're probably aware, they still do come out every now and again. You'll get a compilation album, right? Now, there was a time, especially on an LP, the most time that you could get per side is about 30 minutes. Now, many of you may have seen or may have remembered these, call right now, something, something, give a phone number, and you can get the best of whoever it is. And usually they include 20 tracks on either side of the album. Now, there were various different labels that would put out these compilations. Some of the most well-known ones were a label that was founded in Canada called KTEL, which also sold worldwide on the label KTEL International. There was Ronco. There was one in Europe called Arcade, if I'm not mistaken. Pickwick, and many others. Now, some of these compilations were better than others. The KTEL ones always had the same flaw. So if there's a song that maybe you knew, right, and you buy it on the KTEL record, you'll notice that the song is shorter. What they would do is sometimes they would chop off the beginning of a song and fade it up, and then fade down the song towards the end, and sometimes even speed it up just a fraction. Just a fraction that you don't really notice unless you're really paying attention. And that was to shorten the song so they can put 10 on one side. Of course, removing the bass so the dynamic range isn't there and everything. So and KTEL Records had this thing of where if you bought it and you played it one time, the first time you play it would be... it wouldn't be so bad. It wouldn't be great, but it wouldn't be so bad. But of course, the more often you played it, the sound would deteriorate. Now, some of the major record labels, such as Polydor, RCA, Columbia, and so on, would also release compilation albums. And there was a discussion about James Last album that came out in the 70s. Now, the album was called Make the Party Last. And it was a compilation of 25 of the most well-known James Last recordings. The album actually sold very well worldwide, and Polydor released it through many of their Polydor regional labels. So Polydor Canada, Polydor in Germany, the Netherlands, Polydor in Japan, Polydor in South Africa, and so on and so on and so on. That LP, Make the Party Last, has also been issued digitally and was also issued on CD. But there is an inherent problem with it. And I kind of noticed it right away because I do have many James Last albums. And not that long ago, I saw a copy. I never had a copy of this one. And I thought, I'll get it, because there was one track on there that I didn't have on any of my other James Last albums. Anyway, I was listening to it, and I was thinking, something is wrong here. Something is seriously wrong here. And I first thought, well, maybe this pressing was just really bad. Because something was just odd with it. And I thought, well... let's see if I can find another. And I got another copy from another pressing, from another country even, and it was just as bad. Now, how bad was it? Well, I took two songs. I took one song from that album, which is the song Crackling Rose, that, of course, was written by Neil Diamond. So I took the song Crackling Rose that's on the album Make the Party Last, and I went to the original album that it was originally on, and I played them side by side, one after the other, and I went, aha, I see what they have done. The same recording that was on the album that it was originally on was a million times better. They had actually removed some of the dynamic range to actually make the track, to squeeze it in to the LP. Okay, that's fine. That's one thing. The next thing that they did, not on the LP, but the digital version that has come out of Make the Party Last, Anybody who is familiar with James Last and familiar with the Nonstop Dancing records will know that there was always this kind of sound effect of a party going on, right? Or to give it a live feel. It wasn't a live recording. It was a studio recording. Now, the digital version of Make the Party Last has identified some of the tracks as live recordings, but they are not. Now, this is something you actually see that has happened in the music industry before, where you have an original recording, which is then bits of it are used for another LP, so they make another master, and then that master gets labeled incorrectly, and people forget about the original master, and then it goes on and on and on and on and on. This has happened a number of times, where record labels have put out recordings. You may remember when the first CDs of the Beatles came out. The first CDs of the Beatles that came out were appalling. They were terrible beyond terrible because they were released from material not taken from the original master tapes, but taken from later copies that were for releasing the albums in the 70s and 80s. So they hadn't taken it from the original source. And when you listen to it on CD, you'd think, well, no, the Beatles never sounded this bad. You listen to, if you'd compared it to an original LP of the Beatles, to the first CD, the LP actually sounded better. You're going, wait a second, where's the dynamic range that CD should have? And that's because the copied masters and the copies of the copies of the copies all got mixed up, and there was very bad labeling, and nobody knew where the original master was. And this was actually a common occurrence. So we were discussing that in this Facebook page this week. And it is amazing at how many times this has happened. Sometimes an original master is labeled, but it's not cataloged. So it's on the shelf. Somebody knows about it, takes it, makes a copy to reissue, but still doesn't catalog it, puts it up there. As time goes by, people forget about the original tape that's on the shelf. And this has happened time and time and time again. And it happens a lot with reissues. Now, in the last 5 years, or maybe a little bit more than that, labels are being a little bit more diligent and spending the time and spending the money to find the original source material to make a reissue from. So it is getting better, but nevertheless, it is still a little bit of a problem. But hopefully, one day it will be a thing of the past. You know, the other thing that actually was brought up in the discussion, and this is actually a true fact, recorded music, of course, goes back to the later part of the 19th century, of course, with Thomas Edison. If you go from that period, okay, all the way to today, even today's date, September 9th, 2018, and go back 120 years, let's say, or 125 years, what is extraordinary is less, right? Less than 30% of the music ever recorded still exists today. Now, you may think 30% doesn't sound like a lot. Well, I mean, it still is a lot considering how much music has been recording. But in existence today is about 30%. Same with movies, actually. Same with films. The vast majority of films that were made probably before at least 1930, the vast majority of them don't even exist anymore. There is records of them. And there's even like maybe a couple of frames or a still shot from those films, but they're all lost, you know? And even with music, it's really extraordinary. It is just extraordinary. And, you know, of course, today it can't really happen so much, but that was the practice. I mean, at one time, a lot of record labels would record an album and then reuse the tapes for something else. I mean, we've seen this thing happen before with the BBC. A lot of classic and very well-known BBC television programs that were shot on videotape in the 50s, 60s, and early 70s, a lot of them don't exist anymore because the tapes were so expensive, they didn't think there was any commercial value, so they would actually reuse them. Some programs still exist in their entirety, strictly by accident. A good example of that, well, one example would be Doctor Who. A lot of the Doctor Who episodes from certain years, there's still a number of missing episodes. They just can't find them. The tapes were wiped. Of course, they've been researching and they found film copies, right? But something, for example, like Monty Python's Flying Circus. Now, that series only still exists in its entirety because after they did their first series in 1961 and then the second series in 1970, by 1971, one of the editors that was on the program contacted one of the Pythons and said, "Hey, look, the Beeb is going to be wiping all your tapes. What do you want to do?" And they put all their money together, went to the BBC, and bought the tapes. Otherwise, today, many episodes of Monty Python's Flying Circus would never have existed. So, you know, sometimes these things happen. Anyway, let's have a little bit of music right now. What a Feeling, Irene Carr, from the movie Flashdance.
First, when there's nothing but a slow glowing dream, that your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone I have cried silent tears full of pride in a world made of steel, made of
Irene Carr and What a Feeling from the original soundtrack to the movie Flashdance. You're listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Two weeks ago now, or maybe just a little bit over, I actually got a new motorcycle. And just to add to my collection. And it was the easiest motorcycle that I've ever gotten because it was actually given to me. No, I'm just saying, wait a second. Why would somebody give you a motorcycle? Well, basically, it belonged to a friend of mine. And much as he's a nice chap, he's not exactly the most mechanically minded person. So, before he went on holiday, he brought his motorcycle to a mechanic because he was having problems with the gearbox. It's a 5-speed gearbox, but only gear 1 and 2 were working. And sometimes 2 wasn't working, it would just go to 3. But to make a very long story short, he brought it, and he'd gone for 2 weeks, and he said, can you go and check on it? And he was checking on it, and the mechanic didn't start work right away because the gearbox was shot. I mean, it was completely, it just wasn't working. So the mechanic then took the whole engine apart, took the whole gearbox apart, and the gears inside were basically stripped. 2 gears were stripped clean. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, wait a second. This is impossible. This is impossible if... This is just impossible. Because a gearbox... this should not happen. Well, sure enough, I was kind of looking. I mean, I asked the mechanic, I want to see the gears. So I went and I saw him and he put all the gears out. And my friend decided not to get it fixed because I don't want to spend the money and everything. So I said, he said he was going to give it to the mechanic. I said, look, I'll take it. So I took it, got the gearbox rebuilt. But the gears were rubbish. And it was a clear sign, having repaired gearboxes before, it was a clear sign of someone who was riding and not using the clutch. They were, especially if you're downshifting. Now, you can go from 5th gear to 4th gear and not use the clutch. Now, you don't want to do it too fast, of course. But this was downshifting from 6th gear all the way down to 2nd gear and not using the clutch and probably doing maybe 70 or 80 kilometers. So, of course, the gears are not going to handle it. And at the same time, there were a couple of cracks in the frame, which is also a clear sign that somebody hasn't been using the clutch. So I got all this stuff fixed. Got the gearbox rebuilt. Had the frame with using an arc welder to repair it. Was driving it for a couple of days, and the gearbox was still acting funny. It was slipping always from 2nd gear, and then the gears would get jammed, and it was just acting odd. Well, the clutch was also a problem, so I had to get the clutch plate repaired. And you just go, wait a second, the bike is not old. I mean, I have bikes that are 20 years old, even older, way older than that, and they've never had a problem with any of the gearboxes or clutches, and this bike is only about 7 years old. And you just, you know... Some people, they will, you know, it's like the carpenter always blames their tools kind of thing. You know, there was actually nothing wrong with the bike. Granted, I have to admit, it's not exactly, I have no feeling when riding it. It's okay, I'm going to keep it, of course, like I keep all my motorcycles, but I have no special feeling towards it. But yeah, I mean, Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, oh, I bought this car, or it could be anything, where they go, oh, it was rubbish, it broke right away. Well, how were you using it? That's my first question. And usually after you find out how it was being used, you know, there could be a quality issue. That could happen, and that does happen. But very often sometimes it's how people use whatever it is that they're complaining about, you know. I mean, I've had people before and they said, oh, they bought a CD, DVD player and it's always breaking and I have to buy another one and they're all rubbish and everything. And then you realize that this person is somebody who watches a DVD, number one, leaves the DVD inside and leaves the machine on at the same time. after they, and it could be like that. It could even be like that for 2 weeks. They don't even turn it off. They don't even, you know, they forget to turn it off. Well, yeah, of course, a problem will arise if the disc is just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning for weeks on end. It wasn't designed for that, you know. So some people, I think, should look at themselves first before saying something is bad. I mean, my Blu-ray DVD player I've had for 10 years. I mean, I've left discs inside it before, but I always turn it off after I finish. So it's not just sitting there for weeks on end, just spinning endlessly, you know. Anyway, one of those weird, weird things. Yeah. Anyway, time for music now again. Frank Sinatra and Bad Bad Leroy Brown.
South side of Chicago, it's the baddest part of town. And if you go down there, you better just beware of a man named Leroy Brown. Now Leroy, more than trouble, he stood about 6'4". All the downtown ladies call him treetop lover. All the studs, they call him sir. And he's bad, bad Leroy Brown. Now Leroy, he a gambler, and he liked his fancy clothes. He liked to wave his diamond rings in front of everybody's nose. He got a custom Continental, he got a Eldorado too. He got a .32 gun in his pocket for fun. He got a razor in his shoe. Yeah, he's bad, bad Leroy Brown. Well, Friday about a week ago, Leroy shooting dice, and at the edge of the bar sat a lady named Doris, and she sure looked nice. Well, he laid his eyes upon her, and the trouble soon began. And Leroy Brown, he learned a lesson about messing with the wife of a jealous man. Yeah, he's bad, bad, bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole damn town. Badder than old King Kong, and meaner than the junkyard dog. He's bad, he's bad Leroy Brown. Baddest man in the whole damn town. Better than old King Kong, meaner than the junkyard dog. Yeah, he's badder than old King Kong, badder than the junkyard dog.
Bad, bad, Leroy Brown, Frank Sinatra here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. We've actually had a pretty okay program today. I'm trying to play more music than I normally do because we actually haven't been doing that for a while. So why don't we continue in that vein and try to squeeze in as much music before the end of the program. Now, the singer that we're going to take a listen to is a well-known pop singer. She's been singing, well, since the 1980s. She was also an actress in a very well-known Australian television soap opera. You guess who it is, right? It is Kylie Minogue. Now, Kylie Minogue did an album called The Abbey Road Sessions, and it's all songs, very well-known Kylie Minogue songs. But performed with a full orchestra, and it is actually quite good. The packaging is quite astonishing, and it's amazing what you can do with songs sometimes, and you just by doing a whole different arrangement makes a song sound completely different. So here she is, Kylie Minogue with full orchestra, and her hit "Come Into My World."
take these arms that were made for loving, and this heart that will beat for two. Take these eyes that were made for watching over you. And I've been such a long time waiting for someone I can call my own. I've been chasing the life I'm dreaming.
Henry Mancini with A Shot in the Dark. And A Shot in the Dark, of course, is, well, one of the Pink Panther movies. It wasn't called The Pink Panther, it was just called A Shot in the Dark. But it is starring, of course, Peter Sellers as Inspector Clouseau. You may remember they also did a Pink Panther, I think, two, with Steve Martin as Inspector Clouseau. And I have to say, actually, they're not bad. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing when you have an actor that is so identified with a part. For example, Peter Sellers, who was very well identified with the Pink Panther. And you have another actor who comes along and does the same thing. What will happen is people say, oh, it's not as good as the role of that one, et cetera, et cetera. But that's actually not the case. You know, it's different. You cannot identify his version of that character with another one played by another actor. You know, it's a different movie. It's different, you know, it's a different interpretation of that character. There was actually one, believe it or not, there actually is. Let's see if anybody can get this. Another actor who did play Inspector Clouseau. Yes, there actually is another actor who did play Inspector Clouseau. Any idea of who that is? No? Well, I'm not going to tell you. Let's just say we'll leave it at that, and if one day you figure it out, well, you figure it out. Anyway, we're going to leave you now with some music. Here's Antonio Carlos Jobim and The Girl from Ipanema. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Pelo, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
Outras notas vão entrar, mas a base é uma só. Esta outra é consequência do que acabo de dizer. Como eu sou a consequência inevitável de você. Quanta gente existe por aí que fala, fala e não diz nada, ou quase nada. Já me utilizei de toda a escala, no final não deu em nada, ou quase nada. E voltei pra minha nota, como eu volto pra você. Vou cantar em uma nota, como eu gosto de você. Quem quer todas as notas, ré, mi, fá, sol, lá, si, dó, acaba sem nenhuma, fique numa nota só.